This episode of the 9 to 5 Mac Security Byte podcast is sponsored by Mosel. Deploying, managing, and protecting Apple devices at work shouldn't be difficult or require several solutions. Mosel is the only Apple unified platform for business. Mosel's integrated approach to management and security combines state-of-the-art Apple-specific security solutions for fully automated hardening and compliance, next-generation EDR, AI-powered Zero Trust, and exclusive privilege management with the most powerful and modern Apple MDM on the market. The result is a totally automated Apple unified platform currently trusted by over 45,000 organizations to make millions of Apple devices work ready with no effort and at an affordable cost. By combining enhanced device management, endpoint security, internet privacy and security, single sign-on, and enhanced app management into a single Apple-only platform, businesses can now easily and automatically deploy, manage, and protect their Apple devices automatically with one solution at an affordable price. With a solution for every business size and the best support in the market, start a free 30-day trial and see firsthand why Mosel is more than an Apple MDM. Mosel is everything you need to work with Apple. To learn more, visit business.mosel.com. That's business.mosyle.com. Thanks to Mosel for sponsoring the 9 to 5 Mac Security Byte podcast. Welcome back to 9 to 5 Mac Security Byte. I'm Aaron Wychulis. This week I sat down with Talal, one half of the duo behind the Misk Apple Security Research account on Twitter, and co-founder of Silo, a privacy-focused browser app for iOS that takes a fundamentally different approach to private browsing. We get into why not all VPNs are created equal, cough cough, logging, and how exactly websites are identifying you and tracking your movements across different tabs. We also talk about how Silo tackles all of this by giving every tab its own isolated silo, complete with a separate IP address, memory, storage, and more. If you care about privacy on your iPhone, this one's worth a listen. Also, I did record this conversation with a slight sinus infection, so I apologize ahead of time for my nasally voice. Here's my conversation with Talal. Talal, thank you for joining the 9 to 5 Mac Security Byte podcast. It's great to have you.
Oh, thanks for having me. Thanks for the invite.
So before we start, do you sort of want to introduce yourself to listeners and explain like how you got into iOS development and in turn Apple security stuff?
Sure, yeah. So I'm Talal. I'm from Canada. But as of this week, actually, I am unemployed as well. So I did resign from my job. And this is just a personal break that I'm taking for a little while. I've been doing iOS development for the past, I would say almost, it's been 15 years, I think, since the early days of iOS development. And I've been a Mac user since 1993, back in the day. I've been quite interested in just like, you know, software development and just like learning about Macs and how Macs work. And then from there, I actually did my master's degree in computer and electrical engineering. And nice. During that time, so that was actually around the time when Apple introduced the App Store, and that seemed like the early days of the gold rush of the App Store. I wasn't quite ready to be part of that, but I did start dabbling with iOS development on the side, and that's when also I was actually working with Tommy. We've been working together under the name Misk for the past 15 years as well. One little thing I do remember: this was I think in 2012, before the whole NSA revelations came out. And there was a Firefox extension called, I believe it was called FireSheep, I think. It was a Firefox extension where you can just install it in Firefox. And if you're on a public Wi-Fi network, it just steals cookies from anything, from anybody who's logging into, let's say, to Facebook or to any website on the same Wi-Fi network. Because this was before the tech industry moved to HTTPS and encrypting all traffic by default. So what happened was you can just go to a public Wi-Fi network on campus or in a cafe and then just turn on this extension and then you can log in as anybody. Somebody logged into Facebook, you can just... So I saw that and like was, this is crazy. So I started going around telling my friends, this is what people can do. Please don't log into Facebook on campus Wi-Fi or like anywhere. Just be careful because again, there was not the tech industry hadn't yet moved to HTTPS. So that was the kind of the early indication of, okay, no, we need to sort of be careful and take things you know, just in general, be careful and just don't connect to public Wi-Fi. That was back in the day, but since then, things have changed considerably, which we can now talk about VPNs and that whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's great setup for the Silo app.
Yeah, I do want to kind of take a step, before kind of moving on to Silo, I do want to take a step back and just talk about in general about what VPNs do and what they can and can't do. Because I think VPN, there's a lot of claims made about VPNs, and the VPN sponsorship pitches that we hear all the time are, let's just call some of it as misleading. What a lot of VPN claims to do is it will encrypt all of your traffic. So no matter where you connected, it will just encrypt anything that you do online, and it will route it through their VPN server so nobody can see what you do. On a high level, that is correct. That's what they do. They will mask your IP address. They will route traffic through their network, and anybody on the network will not be able to really see anything that you do, aside from the fact that you've connected to a VPN. However, without a VPN, if you were not connected to a VPN, the baseline is let's say you're connected to a public Wi-Fi. With today's internet, with the fact that everything is encrypted by default through HTTPS, whoever is on your network or your ISP can't do anything aside from just seeing that you've connected to a certain website. So they can see that you've connected to, let's say, Facebook, you've connected to a bank, you've connected to whichever other websites, but they can't actually see what's inside the traffic. They can just know that
the packets
you've connected.
The
packets are encrypted. They will just know that you've connected to a certain website at a certain time, and this much data has transferred. That's what an ISP can do by default. And if you connect through a VPN, that's what a VPN can see as well. There are VPNs that try to do that, kind of go the extra step of trying to set up their network so they can't even see how much traffic you do. But I'm just going to leave that aside for now. But in principle, without a VPN, in most cases, attackers or whoever's trying to look at your traffic can't really see what you do aside from which websites you visited, and that's what your ISP can do as well. And if you use a VPN, you're just moving that to a VPN. You're trusting a VPN more than you're trusting your ISP.
I think this is great setup. If you're ready to get into the Silo app, because I have a lot of questions about Silo for you.
Okay, absolutely. So we just talked about VPNs and the fact that the most they can do is they can mask your IP address. Some VPNs also block trackers by default. So if you connect through certain VPNs, they will block ads, they will block known trackers, they will block malware domains, and so on. So these are some of the that's really all a VPN can do. Why did we make Silo? So what is Silo? Silo is a privacy browser for iOS. We've built it from the ground up just based off our research over the years into privacy, VPNs, tracking, and what's now referred to also as fingerprinting. Basically, since much of the internet economy runs off tracking and serving you ads, they have the companies that do the tracking have had to come up with ways to keep tracking you even if you use a VPN. So for example, you might be like, I'm sure people have noticed that even if you use a VPN, you go on Instagram and then you open something else entirely and you still see relevant ads, even though they're not, you know, they're not the same company, not the same. You might be on a different VPN, different network. You might be traveling somewhere and it still sort of figures out that you're still the same person and we're still serving you relevant ads based off your browsing history, even with VPNs on. So how do they do it? The overall name for these techniques is called fingerprinting. How does that work? It tries to infer that you're the same person out of just gathering a lot of seemingly innocent pieces of information about you. So let's say you go to the website A. The website A will see that you've connected from an iPhone 15 Pro at a certain time. Your time zone is set to, let's say, Spain. Your system language is set to English Canada. Your battery percentage was 58%. The last time you turned on your phone was 8:30 in the morning. And just a whole list of like little pieces of information that is provided by the system. But on their own, they don't really mean much. But if you in aggregate, if you collect them all together, you're a lot. It's a lot likely that it's the same person if you visit another website with that same set of information, because it's just unlikely that someone else has exactly the same set of like little parameters. So that's called.
What's the benefit of websites collecting this data? Do they in turn take this information and sell it to Google? Like, what's the benefit for the website to fingerprint?
The benefit for the website is a lot. Again, as I mentioned, a lot of the internet economy is based off tracking and serving you relevant ads. So these websites, they want to have to be able to serve you ads so they can just make money off people clicking on those ads or viewing these ads. So yeah, the more relevant the ads are, so that's why the websites themselves don't have, you know, they just use these trackers that are offered by Google and some other companies. That's how fingerprinting works in general. They collect a whole bunch of data about your device, and they try to infer that it's likely the same person that's going across these different websites, so we can keep serving them relevant ads as they browse the web. Even if they change their VPN, that's just one factor out of 100. So it wouldn't really change your fingerprint.
Right. So this like anti-fingerprinting like blocking feature is something that Silo does for users?
Yes. So the reason why we built Silo, so it's funny enough, we didn't set out to build a browser initially. We wanted to build, because we know that native apps on iOS have a lot more ability to fingerprint you because they have a lot more system access. They know the battery percentage. They know how long the phone has been turned on for, and like a lot of other things about your phone. As opposed to through the web, there is still ability to do fingerprinting, but it's not as accurate and not as detailed as what can be done on the native side. So we thought, okay, we wanted to build some kind of app that lets you use the web versions of common apps such as like X and Instagram and other social media apps, but we also want them to be isolated and separated so they wouldn't be ability to share data between the different silos, we called them. And we didn't really build this as a general purpose web browser. We wanted this just to, if you have, let's say, multiple accounts on X and like some account on Instagram and some other account on some other service, we wanted an ability to use those services without being tracked and fingerprinted. That's how it started off. But then when we released our first beta last year, people didn't quite understood what it was. They thought, wait, you're not calling it a web browser, but it's essentially a web browser. So after a couple of the beta testing cycles, we decided, okay, it's time to actually call it a web browser and like build out all the web browser features. Yeah, just admit it. We go into a lot of detail on our blog, but it's funny in hindsight that it was so obvious we were building a web browser, but we just didn't want to admit it.
And when you launch Silo, it doesn't look like your typical web browser.
No,
it's almost like having
a web browser. Yeah,
no, not. I totally get that. So what I really like about Silo is it's almost like unlimited web browsers in a web browser, because you have these things called silos, and they have their own cache, they have storage, they have their own IP address, and it's super cool because it's like having your own browser inside of a browser, and you can have, I don't know what the max is, but you can have like 20
of
these.
There's no like limit. You can just keep making on different silos. And each one, again, has its own cache. We've even set it up in a way where, let's say you've set up one silo to be connected to Germany. Then we change the time zone and we change the locale of that tab to be someone from Germany. So it's less likely to be like, fingerprinting scripts that try to take into account time zone differences, and we try to mitigate that as well.
Right. So walk me through another real world experience. Like, why would a user want to have a tab A and a tab B completely separate, with the tabs having no idea that the other exists? Like what's a good real world scenario that users can take away? That
we've designed it around just preventing tracking and fingerprinting by advertisers and trackers. That's really the main purpose behind it. And we just believe that people have the right to not be tracked online. and simply trying to block ads and block trackers, the known trackers, as like what some VPNs do and Adblock does. We wanted to just go a step further, not just block the known trackers and the known websites that are known to track you. We want to also make it much more difficult on a browser level to prevent tracking. So that's what we do when we try to like change your time zone, change your system language per silo. We have an IP address per silo. So it's really just to give people a tool that just allows them to do that.
This is something that not only power users can use in every day. I think this is something that everyone can use every day. Because one of the things I love about the app is that the UI and the UX is very simple. Silo's like it's super easy to use and it doesn't take much learning at all. It's like a browser, but it's not like a browser in a way. It's it's interesting to describe, but it's something that everyone can use, not just power users. So it's a very power user thing to talk about, you know, tracking and you know, VPNs and stuff. But I think Silo kind of does something different, and I think it's interface is something that all users can use. It's not overly complicated, or you know.
Well, I really appreciate that. Yeah, a lot of work has gone into Silo. In terms of the way we've designed it, so me and Tommy have been doing iOS apps for the past 15 years, and we have a lot of admiration for like Apple's approach to software. Maybe not lately. Lately, it's been a little shaky with Tahoe and so on. Let's hope this year we see something a little different. But in principle, we wanted to make a tool that's not just for power users, but for someone who is simply just interested in protecting their privacy, but they don't really have to understand what's fingerprinting, what are all these toggles? What are these? We just wanted something that an average person can just download. It sets up everything on its own. There's no profiles to install. There's nothing to change. It just kind of works out of the box.
Yeah. And, there's no signing in or logging in to.
Exactly. There's no accounts. Yeah. We actually don't know who the user is. We've set it up intentionally like this. So
right. No one it should would, be that way.
Yeah, exactly.
So what's next for Silo? Are you guys working on any new features or anything that you can update us on?
So yeah, as I've said, I just have quit my main job. Mainly because I just wanted to take some personal time off. But this will also give me some more time to actually do some more development on Silo. There's a couple of things that the major thing. So as I've said initially, since we didn't build it as a browser initially, it still has that roots that it's not designed as a browser. So we kind of just want to add a few more browser features in the app itself. So for example, it doesn't currently have any settings to kind of change the font size. It doesn't have like a night mode. It doesn't have some of those things that more established browsers have. There's a basic download manager. We want to sort of improve that as well. And that's on one end. On the other end, we also wanted to expand our proxy network because we actually built our own network.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So all the proxy servers we manage ourselves. And it took some effort for us to kind of expand. And we wanted to further expand our network because currently we only, I think, have 7 countries. And we sort of want to expand and have and be able to offer if you look at what a typical VPN offers, they sort of offer 100 different countries and 400 servers.
Yeah,
we're not at that scale yet, so we sort of want to start scaling that up if we're able to also make Silo as a business a bit more sustainable.
Right, but yeah, it sounds like you're doing it right by setting up and managing these servers yourself and not going through sketchy third-party sources or something. Yeah. Is there a Mac app coming soon?
Oh, God, yeah. So
I'd love to have Silo on the Mac.
So Mac app is definitely something we want to do. We want to do Mac. We want to do Android at some point. It's not in the immediate roadmap, even though Mac, I don't think it would be that difficult because we did build the app using Swift UI. So that allows us to sort of kind of just click a checkbox and compile for Mac. But the UI wouldn't be kind of Mac tailored for Mac, and if we were to come up with a Mac version, we want it to like look and feel like a Mac app as opposed to like an iPad app that it just runs on a Mac on Mac.
Yeah. Yeah. So where can users find Silo?
So we have actually just launched our website, silo.app. And you can also follow us on X. That's MISC_CO. That's the name we work under. And it's currently available as a subscription, annual or monthly. And we're happy to also, as part of this podcast, to opt to do a special offer, like a 30% discount off the annual plan, which we will include as a promo code. Yeah,
right
as part
on.
Of this podcast. So cool. We would love. There's a 7-day free trial as well. Fully can get access to the full feature set of the app. There's no limitations for 7 days. Mm-hmm.
And we'll link this in the show notes below too.
Absolutely,
for users to find. Talal, thank you so much for coming on Security Byte. It was really great to talk about VPNs and tracking and Silo.
Thank you so much. And I'm excited to see where we can take Silo. And feel free to reach out to us directly with any features, suggestions, and so on.